Issues Etc. regular guests Pastor Matt Harrison, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be speaking at the premier worship conference of 2011. Sing His Praise, His Love Declare. It's July 27th through the 29th on the campus of Concordia University, Nebraska. For more information on the worship conference, Sing His Praise, His Love Declare, visit Seward2011.org or call 402-643-2983.
Deuteronomy 15:6, "For the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised, and you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none."
He also went to Deuteronomy. That scored for the good governor, but when you got a $14.3 trillion debt, it's kind of late for that message to have a strong impact.
Believer, non-believer, no differences. We all say. So that's my number one commitment.
The church that survives is the one that proclaims Jesus, not the pastor, not the megastar, not the latest entertainment craze, but that constantly focuses back on the cross.
Moms in Ohio love Issues, Etc.
Well, we always love to hear from our listeners here on Issues, Etc., even if it is a Monday afternoon. Sometimes over the weekend, that Issues, Etc. comment line has a tendency to fill up, and I think we'd actually gone to the bottom of the bucket on Friday going into the weekend. There were a few more left there over the weekend, and we're going to get to our responses to some of the Issues, Etc. listeners on the Issues, Etc. comment line. Here in the first half hour or so of Issues, Etc. live this Monday, July the 25th, I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson. Jesus' journey to the cross into Jerusalem will be the subject. Then, in the second hour of the program, Pastor Mark Sell will join us. We're going to talk with him about the universal language of the church. It's not that all Christians speak the same human language, but we have a common vocabulary. It's a common way of worship, a common way of prayer, of song, and a common scriptures. So the church has a way of speaking and therefore thinking, and it is universal, not only over time, but also over space. We'll talk about that in the second hour of the program. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at @issuesetc, or if you haven't already, you can always visit our Facebook fan page, join the fans there. Facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Let's start with a comment about the commercials that were running recently for Raging Rivers.
Hi, guys. It's Deborah in Dallas. Just wanted to give my 2 cents on Friday's Issues, Etc. comment line. You had someone call or ask about the Raging Rivers commercial. And I've been listening to that for a while and wanted to call and comment, but was afraid to because I thought I might offend somebody. But I will tell you, that is a horrible commercial. Jeff, I sure hope you and your wife now have enough tickets so that you can go to Raging Rivers because, oh, man, that's like a 80s or a 21st century version of the Valley Girl. Whoever that is doing that commercial really bad. Very annoying. But, yeah, I'm all about the wine and beer commercials. That's a fantastic idea. Why don't you guys think about, yeah, let's do that. That's a great idea. But Raging Rivers, I sure hope you have enough tickets. Anyway, talk to you guys later. Bye.
Well, since part of that comment is directed toward Jeff, I'm going to let Jeff respond to, I have something to say, but I'm going to let Jeff respond. First of all, set the context so that people who aren't aware of the kind of ongoing question some of our listeners have about the commercials is fully understood here.
Raging Rivers is a water park here in the St. Louis Metro East area. And my beautiful bride, Elizabeth Marie, said, "Hey, do you think you can get some free tickets for Raging Rivers?" So what it's called in radio or any kind of media is trade. You advertise something, you air some commercials or put some kind of print thing in the newspaper, and in return, instead of giving you cash, they give you junkets, yeah, for lack of a better term. So that's how Raging Rivers came
about.
It's
kind of what the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod does for all of its synodocrats.
I have to think about that, whether that's perks. an apple to apple.
Well, it's not exactly apple to apple, but you are compensated for the advertisement in merchandise of a kind,
exactly,
rather than in or products rather than in cash money.
So a lot of advertisers that don't, or businesses don't have huge advertising budgets, you know, say, hey, this isn't really going to cost me that much, so why not do a trade? So that's how it came. That's how Raging Rivers came about. And you guys heard me the first one. The commercials came in, and it was from a pretty big ad agency in St. Louis. When the commercials came in,
we did not produce the commercials.
No, we did not produce the commercials. This, we're playing them as is. And when I played them, off my Mac, when they got in here, sent via email MP3 files, I said, "Oh boy, we're going to get some complaints about this one," because it did. It's kind of on steroids. It sticks out kind of like a sore thumb. And in hindsight, what I probably should have done is ask the ad agency if we could reproduce those similar content. But reproduce those so it's not quite as jarring to our listeners is probably, you know, classical music stations do that a lot of times for commercials that they get from an ad agency. But that's the history of it.
Okay. So you were aware of the fact, as the producer of the show, that the commercials might be a bit jarring to the ear of the listener.
Yes. I mean, within what, Craig? 5-10 seconds of listening. Raging Rivers. I'm like, oh boy, we're going to get some complaints about this one. Now, good news is that we're 2 weeks into a 4-week campaign. It runs once a day. It's a 1 minute. The problem, too, is it's a 1 minute commercial as opposed to a 30-second commercial. Most of our commercials here are 30-second commercials, so it lasts pretty long, too. So we only have 2 weeks left. So there's, counting today, 10 more times the Raging Rivers commercial will run in the future. We should probably, you know, if something like that, we should probably ask if we could reproduce the commercial.
Sure. So that's the producer's explanation there. And well, in answer to the question, she says she wants to make sure you have enough tickets. Now, are you guys secure in your?
Yes, we had 25 passes, and we still have 25. Sitting on my desk, best trying to find
only
a time
six people
when she
in
can,
your family.
So. Yes, when trying to find time when she can go. And Craig said he wanted to take his little nephew there. And I don't know, you might want to take Maria and Saul. And we probably ought to give some away to some of the pastors that come in here from the St. Louis area too.
Yeah, so that it all goes to good use. Now the commenter did say something about not wanting to say anything because they might hurt someone's feelings, offend somebody. That's not going to happen. I mean, it's not that our feelings can't be hurt, but we want to hear from our listeners, even if they have the smallest concern about the program, even if they have the smallest criticism of the program, we want to hear that. And please don't worry about hurting our feelings. This is, you know, for Jeff, this is a job, and it is for all of us. And it's, we want to be able to do it the very best we can for our listeners. So if you have any kind of criticism, any kind of question, anything like that, even if you think I might be hurting, stepping on someone's toes, don't worry about that. You're not going to step on our toes. We are big boys. I know the three guys who work here, including myself. We don't get our feelings hurt. We may not agree with the criticism, but we're not going to get our feelings hurt. We're big boys. Bring the criticism on. We welcome it. Unlike many other organizations, we're not about protecting the image at all costs. This is about making sure that our listeners get the very best Issues Etc. they can get, even the stuff during the breaks. So we are happy to hear your criticisms of whatever size. Please, you will not hurt our feelings.
This is Paul in Milwaukee. Fellow Lutheran and Issues Etc. listeners, are you aware of the Issues Etc. poster and business cards recently offered on the program? Why should you check this out, you ask? If you download the poster and cards on index card stock, you're skin in the game. Do you witness to the Savior as you place the poster at home, church, or perhaps at your work? At your Bible studies, buy these cards. Can you point to Issues Etc. in its archive? The topics ranging from sincere curiosity to ones of spiritual life and death. Christ said, while you are going, teach. Is he saying to you as you go in your everyday life, help teach by showing your neighbor a way to teaching of Christ's word on the radio or in the computer? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, St. Paul says. This is, etc., and its posters and cards, a path to that good news. if you give these paper means of proclamation to the receiver will act. When you run out of posters and cards, act again and again. Thanks to all for listening. On Lutherans Next.
Well, thank you very much. And what the commenter is talking about is the best, speaking of advertisers, the very best advertisement we have for Issues, etc., is our listener. Our listeners are the very best. Word of mouth is exactly how this show is promoted very best. We are like a lot of those little businesses that don't have a huge marketing budget. We depend on our listeners to help promote us, and they have done so very well. We just like to find new ways for them to do it, ways to make it easier for them to promote Issues, etc. We've done that with the Issues, etc. business cards or bulletin board flyers. There's an 8.5 by 11 bulletin board flyer that you can download at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support right there in the middle of the page. You'll find it right alongside that, the Issues, etc. business cards. You can download those. You can print them off on suitable stock and cut along the lines. There you have something you can hand out, carry with you wherever you go. Instead of saying, you know, there's a show called Issues, Etc. I can't remember the website. Yeah, and you can call it. It's live every weekday, but I can't remember the number. We've got it all there for you on the business card that you can hand out to anybody. Leave a stack of them at the church, and it's a great way to promote Issues, Etc. Now, when we come back, we've got more of the Issues, Etc. comment line on this Monday afternoon. After that, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us. We'll be journeying with Jesus into Jerusalem. A little strange chronology here for this time of the church year, but we'll find out why that's going on. And then Pastor Mark Sell joins us in the second hour of the program to talk about the universal language that is unique to the church. We'll be right back.
At SteadfastLutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the curmudgeon, and we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. SteadfastLutherans.org.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the 6 chief parts and the 7 liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
No consultants necessary. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues, Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are 4 levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. A little bit later in the program, we'll be doing an Issues, Etc. sermon review. Pastor Stephen Parks preaching on, well, I think this has to be one of the most beloved sections of the book of Romans. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is ours in Jesus Christ. We'll see how he preaches that in our sermon review on Issues Etc. a little bit later in the program. Up next, a comment on our series on Christ-centered parenting.
Hello, I'm calling in regards to the series on Christ-centered parenting. I think the series really serves as a great warning to parents, but I have a question. How do you think the doctrine of baptismal regeneration, although a biblical doctrine, has contributed to the lack of parental teaching in the faith? I know this was certainly the case in my family. My parents passed on all religious teachings to the church. I think that you touched on why this happened. At least for the baby boomers, they were more concerned with feeding their families and really made Christianity a once-in-a-week activity. Basically, they separated life in the church, which I think alternatively in this age is why so much of Christian teaching is about Christian living. Thanks for listening.
Well, it's a good question. Now, I want to tread carefully here because it is not the teaching of baptismal regeneration, the right and proper teaching of baptismal regeneration, that leads to the laxity of parents when it comes to raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is the improper teaching of that. Because, of course, baptismal regeneration is but part of all of Scripture's teaching on baptism. The first question you want to ask if you're going to deal with any topic of Scripture is, where is the place to go, to begin, in Scripture, to find out what the Bible says about it? With regard to baptism, the place to begin, not to end, or not to remain, because there are many passages about baptism. The place to begin is, however, with Christ's command to baptize. And that is in Matthew 28. I know it's called the Great Commission, but it is, first and foremost, Christ's institution of baptism. It is his institution of a sacrament, that is, washing of water in the Word in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for the forgiveness of sins. It's why the apostles went out, both preaching and baptizing. It's why everywhere they went, whether they baptized first and preached second, or preached first and baptized second, they baptized and they preached together. They did not leave it there because, of course, Christ's command about baptism doesn't leave it there either, because he says two things. I'm actually writing an article on this right now, and I did something very interesting. I mentioned this before. I actually just diagrammed the sentences of the Great Commission, and you have, make disciples by baptizing and teaching. The two go together. So a proper teaching of baptismal regeneration, what it is baptism gives, will include both baptism proper and the teaching that follows. It is not only assumed, it is commanded by Christ that the two go together. They are never separated from one another. And it's not that baptism isn't baptism apart from teaching, or that teaching isn't teaching apart from baptism, but Christ puts them together, so we keep them together. And it is the failure to keep them together by parents in so many generations that has resulted in parents outsourcing Christian teaching to the day school or to Sunday school or to the church in some general sense. Does the church have a part to play in this? Absolutely. But the primary place for Christian teaching in the home for children is from parents. This is what Luther understands when he pens the Small Catechism. And now what happens here is that parents fail to see that along with bringing their children for baptism comes this very important promise that they make to train the child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bring this child to the house of God, place into their hands, these are the words of the baptismal rite, place into their hands the Holy Scriptures, eventually bring them to the table of the Lord's Supper. These are all responsibilities laid upon the parents. And they lie primarily with the parents. That's why we have sponsors, in case they should lose their parents. Whose responsibility does it become? It becomes the sponsor's responsibility. And then the whole congregation in the baptismal rite, together with the sponsors and the parents, say they will also take responsibility for this. So it's not the proper teaching of baptismal regeneration that has led to this, but in fact a deficient teaching in baptismal regeneration, that baptism somehow exists in Christ's command or in the church's practice apart from parents bringing up their children in the Word of God.
Yeah, hi, this is Mike from Kansas City, and I was just listening to your broadcast on Luke 5, 1 to 11, a pastor's roundtable. Great, great programming. I really appreciated it. You had actually someone who had sent an email asking a question concerning verse 11, and when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. You know, that's been a problematic verse in the evangelical church for a long time because a lot of churches have used that verse to basically con is too strong of a word, but to seduce people into turning over their possessions to the local church. That's been done so many times. I'm pretty sure you were going to get to this, so maybe you can, Pastor Wilkin, you can correct me here if I'm wrong, but what I do with this verse, I take this verse 5:11, and I use it in the same context as further on in Luke 8, I believe it's 39. In Luke 8:39, Jesus has just healed someone, and they want to leave everything behind and follow him, and here's what Jesus says. He says, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And then he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. So my point is, for us, the average layperson, what we should be doing is not necessarily giving up everything we have, like it seems to say in verse 5:11. But it seems to me that what us as the average layperson, the model we should be following would be pretty much the model that's in Luke 8:39. Return to your home. Go about your business and just worship God through your local church body. I just wanted to add that and wondered what you all thought about that. Thank you very much.
Well, I think he's picking up on something that was the subject of that pastor's roundtable, and that is that we do have to read all of these things, the disciples leaving everything they have, we have to read them in their proper first context before we immediately jump to making some application to ourselves and to others. The first context, it is the disciples, and you notice Jesus does not command them to leave everything and follow him. They simply do it because of it can only be a miracle of God's grace through the Holy Spirit that they would do this. Now, you will also note they didn't leave it completely. They went back to being fishermen occasionally. So it does apply first and primarily to the apostles, and to many, Jesus does say, stay where you're at, do what you're doing. The Apostle Paul even says, remain in the calling you were in when you were called.
This is Herman calling, July 22nd, commenting on Michelle Bachman's interview Thursday, July 21st, on the media handling of Michelle Bachman in Roman Catholic Church. What I've noticed is very interesting. Someone in the liberal media or some group had to read or know the content of the foundational Lutheran Book of Concord set of teachings and positions. That's very interesting. It essentially means that, I guess, for a significant time since the Reformation, some 500 nearly years ago, we're talking about Lutheran foundational books making the news. So that's very interesting that at the basis of what they're trying to fight against Michelle Bachman, having been a member of a Lutheran church, they're trying to fight. Essentially, they're bringing out the issue about the Pope as Antichrist is involved in the issue of the full, exclusive justification of Jesus Christ, the true God-man, the second person of the exclusive, divine, eternal, holy Trinity of the Godhead. There is no other God. And what he has freely done by grace for sinful mankind, that is the central issue. That they're wanting to more or less trek through. They try to look through the Lutheran confessions to see how they can slander Michelle Bachman. So in a curious way, the enemies have paid court to, shall we say, the essential stand of the Reformation in a roundabout way. We haven't seen the media do this in say a good number of while, essentially. So we might as well make the most of it and go on from there. So it's similar to Jesus' enemies wanting him to go be put on the cross because he said he was God and did the miracles that bore it out. Sometimes enemies also have a testimony to the essential issues as well in an interesting way. Well, thank you very much.
Now, I don't know if I completely agree with the caller in that the media was somehow aware of the details of the Lutheran confessional documents. Somehow they heard, maybe they tried to verify it, maybe they didn't, that something like Lutherans believe the Pope is the Antichrist, which is not a completely obscure piece of knowledge there. Of course, a lot of the things that the Lutherans ought to believe that can keep you from getting elected. The Issues Etc. comment line is 618-223-8384. Use it anytime. When we come back, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will talk about Jesus' journey to Jerusalem.
For assistance, if this all confuses you, so tell me why.
In 1968, Bob Edson perfected the sauce of his dreams. He called it Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce because it tastes great on everything. Country Bob's also has a line of specialty sauces like All-Purpose Spicy, Honey Habanero, or Apple Chipotle, if you like it hot. You can find Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce at your local grocery store or log on to CountryBob's.com and find out more, like a Country Bob's cookbook or recipes on their blog. No matter what you're grilling or cooking, it all comes down to the sauce. Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce.
How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Government officials in the United Kingdom have long kept details surrounding late-term abortion secret. It took a 5-year battle to make the information public. Now it's clear why the government was stonewalling. Thousands of babies were killed by abortion purely because of mental or physical disabilities. Children with Down syndrome or spina bifida, neither condition life-threatening, were singled out for death. Hundreds more with relatively minor physical challenges were also selectively killed. Some merely had cleft palates or a club foot. Government officials said they kept the statistics secret to protect the privacy of the patient, but this is all smoke and mirrors. The abortions provided no health benefit. They only cut costs of caring for disabled people in government-run healthcare.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.